You're listening to Permission To, the podcast where we dive into the science and soul of owning your worthiness as a perfectly imperfect human being. I'm your host, Sam Ju, psychotherapist, positive psychology coach, mama to a beautiful 5-year-old Emily, and passionate advocate for living an inspired life. My aim is to show you that you have full permission to own your worthiness, so that you can embrace your true nature and begin walking boldly toward your dreams. Let's dive in. So today I am interviewing my biz bestie, Jess. Jess Miller is a somatic strategist, mum to 7-year-old Charlotte, and a fierce believer that building your business shouldn't cost you your life. After walking away from a multi-award-winning 7-figure business because she was no longer willing to sacrifice her health, relationships, and happiness on the altar of success, Jess created a new definition for herself, one that's rooted in safety, simplicity, and self-trust. With degrees in economics and communications, training in the nervous system, and trauma-informed coaching, and decades of experience in both owning and operating multiple businesses, as well as supporting countless others, Jess brings a potent blend of strategy, somatics, and soul to her work, where she helps values-driven changemakers to redefine success on their terms and intentionally craft a business that feels like home. And we're going to be diving into Jess's relationship with peace and profit. What's your relationship with peace and profit? Can you share a little bit of your journey with us?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like most things, you learn what you want through discovering the opposite and what it's not. And so for me, definitely my relationship with peace and profit emerged out of a really challenging circumstance where I discovered what I do not want. And really, you know, I was thinking back about this, and it probably started even well before I actually ever stepped into business. I feel like we were the generation of girls that grew up being told that we can have it all. We can have this incredible career. We can be powerful, phenomenal business owners. And, you know, simultaneously, we somehow would also be able to be these like Stepford wives and super moms. And, you know, I nowadays feel like that was maybe a bit of a fallacy. We can definitely have it all, but we can't do it all at once. And so I, like many in my generation, grew up with a very strong work ethic, this very like work hard to get ahead type mentality. And I think as a result of that, there was this unrelentingly high standard and big expectations placed on myself, not externally, but from within. And so I was the first in my family to go to uni. I studied and I worked full time to pay my way. I got good grades. I got the good job and I got the guy, like all of the things that was, you know, ticking the boxes of what I thought was going to contribute to this really great idealistic life. And something that I realized pretty early into our relationship, because I had built a career in corporate, I was the breadwinner in our relationship. And it occurred to me that if that was the case and that didn't change, then I would not be able to be the type of mother that I wanted to be if we were going to be purely relying on me to be the breadwinner in our family. And so, freshly engaged at the age of 24, my husband and I opened a brick and mortar hospitality business. This was our strategy for expanding and diversifying our income beyond my husband's wage so that I could then take the time off to be a mum. And we broke a ton of franchise records. We won awards. We generated high revenue. We were profitable in our first year of business, which is something that's pretty rare in that type of business. And in hindsight, at that point in time, what we should have really done, you know, hindsight is such a wonderful thing, is stabilized and settled into the business that we had created and celebrated the fact that at that point we had created something that could replace my corporate salary. So created something that was going to allow us to have that vision of me being the mom without needing to return back to corporate. But of course, like most people, once we achieve a goal, we have our eyes then locked on the next goal. And we're like, okay, well, like, here we are. What's the next thing? And, you know, like many business owners that I work with, like I was so good at receiving money and generating money, but I wasn't so great at actually holding it. And so I started to look for all these opportunities for, you know, to build economies of scale. So I was, you know, as an economist thinking like, well, you know, if we have multiple businesses, we can share staff, we can have better purchasing power, we could eventually even hire like a managerial level person that could oversee the operations of the entire business group, which would even further remove the responsibilities from me. And so, yeah, we kind of went about that rather than retaining these profits, rather than paying down the debt of the business loan that we took out to start the business in the first place. We reinvested our profits into expanding our business. We got a mobile trailer. We then opened a second business. And so at this time, I was 26. We'd got married. We'd had a baby. We'd opened the trailer, like the mobile food trailer, and the second business. And unfortunately for us, at this time, there was also a really significant mining downturn in our local market. So that led to a ton of redundancies in the town. And because our products were such a discretionary spend, this drop in like consumer confidence that came with the redundancies and the reduced disposable income amongst people in our town, our sales, of course, dropped too. And so all of a sudden, to sustain these businesses, my husband and I were juggling parenting between the two of us while also working pretty much as we could in the businesses to keep them afloat. And so, yeah, it kind of went from this really high to a pretty drastic low. And, you know, when I think back to this time, like things got so severe that I was crying myself to sleep most nights, feeling like I was completely failing everyone and everything. Like, it was the first time in my life as someone who had always got good grades, had always been the good girl, had always been the achiever, that something wasn't kind of going my way. And I took that really, really personally. And, you know, business was strained. My marriage was strained because we were operating like ships in the night. I wasn't mothering anywhere close to what my visions for motherhood had been. And, you know, I think, again, Rachel, at the lowest point, like I had these horrible, horrible thoughts that, you know, if I just got cancer or something like that, that I would be sick enough that I could claim on my life insurance policy, but, you know, it wouldn't be bad enough that it would kill me. So we could make all this stuff go away and then, you know, everything would be better and that all the businesses would be gone. The stress would be gone and I could just go back to focusing on being a mom and having our relationship. And yeah, it was definitely a low point. And, you know, eventually I got help and discovered that what I was actually experiencing was postnatal depression and severe depletion. And I had just been brushing it off as being a busy mom, being tired, having a lot on my plate. And yeah, I don't know. I just had this like belief that postnatal depression meant that you were struggling to be a mom or you didn't want to be a mom. And so because my emotions weren't driven by that, I was like, no, that's not it. That can't be right. Which of course, you know, now I know is not the case. And there's so many ways in which it impacts people and presents itself. And yeah, that was really a rock bottom moment, which led to us as a family making some really big decisions to shut down the businesses, to pave this new way, one where our relationships, our health, our joy was not going to be sacrificed on this altar of like quote unquote success or what we thought success looked like. And since then, I've gone on to establish a coaching and consulting business where I've been able to support 6- and 7-figure entrepreneurs to build generative profits so they can essentially have the spaciousness that I didn't have and the peace that I wasn't able to access in those years and the connection and time with their family and loved ones that I wasn't present for. And to do that all while scaling their businesses in a way that's more profitable than ever, that feels really luscious in their body and creates these ripples of impact in their industries. And it has been so healing to do that, to not only create a business that's prioritized my nervous system and my season of life, but also to witness the incredible transformations in my clients and the things that they generate through this work as they really decondition from the hustle and grind girl boss culture and build businesses that actually support them.
Thank you for sharing. I feel like your story and your rock bottom moment, and then you've really bloomed out of that is just like such a story of hope. And I think there's so many women in business, and even people who just have careers that are unfulfilling, that need to hear about your story. Like, there's just the power of hope is just incredible here, isn't it? And I'm wondering if you've got any specific examples of how you've been able to help your clients do this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've had clients that came to me feeling really frustrated by a business that they kind of just got all their certifications and were building up this base of clientele, but through pro bono structures. And we've gone from that pro bono business to building out the entire ecosystem of their business in a way that supports them to generate a highly profitable six-figure business that she's able to run entirely during school hours and in a way that brings her a lot of peace and joy. I've had clients that have switched from time-based packages to value-based packages, which led to things like doubling their bookings and increasing their profitability while working in their business part-time around two toddlers. And I've even had like someone that's moved from a successful one-to-one private therapy business and, you know, that they loved, but also had them feeling completely chairlocked and unable to create any further impact, to establishing a membership, which led to more than doubling their revenue with far less work. And obviously then allowing them to get their work into the hands of way more people. And so, yeah, I mean, I could obviously go on and on, but when I think about the clients that I work with and the testimonials that I receive, I would say across the board, like, my clients are really increasing their profitability, deepening their confidence in running their business, trusting their intuition, tapping into that creative turn on and finding their voice in the industry. But more important than that to me is that they do it in a way that feels like an exhale and it feels really like yum and nourishing on their nervous system. And that's not to say there aren't hard moments or crunchy aspects along the way. But by and large, it's this process of bringing in so much more peace and ease than the way that we're typically taught to approach business.
Mm. Yeah. And as you're sharing all these examples, something that I'm really curious about, and actually this is a question that comes up again and again in Slow the Mastermind that Jess and I run together, is that, like, how do you increase your profit without increasing your stress? I know that as a mum, something that has at times limited me and my business is almost like I almost kind of block my growth because I used to have this belief that if my business got bigger, then I would have less time with my children or I would be more overwhelmed. And so I'm really curious if you could speak to that.
Yeah, well, I think you've just hit the nail on the head. Like, there's generally two things that I see when people have this particular view and this particular stress. It is either they've had an experience of burnout or maybe have a belief in their system around, like you just shared, that if I get too big, then I'm not going to have time for myself or the people I care about and things like that. And so that in a very real way is going to take away from how much you're going to put into growing. Because if you don't feel safe to grow, you're obviously not going to put the time, energy, effort into growing in that way. So I think for that instance, it's really examining your mindset, your beliefs, the rules of growth that you're placing on yourself of what you think should happen or growth is going to require, and to realize that growth doesn't have to come in a way that's extracting from you, your relationships, your health. There are so many ways that growth can be pursued. And I think the second most common thing that I see in this space too is almost the opposite end of the spectrum, where people just like way overcomplicate things, way overdo things, add way too many steps. And so we're talking like they're adding in more offers, adding in more platforms, adding in more strategies, they're adding in more marketing, they're adding in basically just a ton more work. And when they do that, they're again, like it's still based on this belief of what the rules are of engagement or what the rules are of growth. And so that's where that, again, mindset piece comes back into it. It also generally, like underneath that, is a lot of discomfort with rest and spaciousness and surrender as well within their nervous system. And so both of those things, while from a strategic level, we can kind of start to unpack and go, okay, like these are the steps that you can take. Like in the first instance, it's like, okay, let's take some titrated action and prove that you can grow your business in a simplified way. And for the other one, it's like, let's extract some things. Let's take things off the plate. It ultimately, both of those require that deeper inner work within your belief system, within your nervous system, in order to feel a sense of safety in your growth and in your ability to do it in a way that's spacious, that's peaceful, that's easeful, that's not, that's actually going to feel good for you.
Yeah, I love that. And there is, I guess, whenever we do expand and grow our business, so there is some, a bit of a stretch. How do you support your women at one-on-one clients and in Slow the Mastermind to really allow them to, you know, to stretch and expand without the overwhelm?
Yeah. So I guess from a nervous system perspective, it depends on where they're at. So if they're in a state of overwhelm, generally what we want to do really strategically is simplify. We want to take things off their plate and work out, okay, like what's causing this stress? We want to look at how can we be building in practices for them that's going to support them to complete their stress cycles. And we want to also support them to start to take titrated action. Because often what we can find is when people are in overwhelm, there can then be procrastination. There can be like a freeze sort of like impact. And so when we're in a freeze response, we really want to be really titrating this action. So not coming in and being like, here's the 10 steps to take and sit down and do all of this work now. It's like, today, could we just do this one thing that's going to take 5 minutes, like set a timer, even if you need to. And often what people find is once they start to get into action, they'll flow more easily. So that 5 minutes all of a sudden actually becomes 15. And instead of just doing the one thing, they've done two or three, but it's removing the pressure from it. And yeah, I think that that's where I have such a unique approach to the money side of things in business, in that a lot of business coaches are going to ask you, okay, well, like, what do you want? Do you want 50K months, 70K months, 100K months? Like, you know, and they're getting you to think bigger and like dream higher. And I like, I'm so here for that. But I think what that can do is it can create a huge level of dysregulation if you're not ready for that. And so what I like to start with is working out what's your safety number when it comes to your money. So what, you know, and you can do this for yourself right now. You could work out from a household perspective, like my family budget or my personal budget, how much at a minimum do I need to pay myself after taxes? And, you know, whatever that amount is, add on taxes to that. So you've got your total income amount. At a minimum, what do I need in order to run my business? And again, this isn't the lavish luxury life with all the support, all the business coaches, all the like, whatever. This is just the base at a basic level need. What does this look like? And then adding those numbers up, you'll work out what's your safety number. And often what my clients find and what the women inside Slow have found is that the number that is required for them to feel safe is actually close to, if not less than, what they're already generating. And so what this does is it allows you to all of a sudden exhale, like your whole, like even just then in saying that, my whole body just softened. And it takes away the pressure when you know that you are meeting your basic needs. You then actually bring online more of your executive functioning, more of your creative faculties that are then going to be able to support you to come up with the programs, to execute on the strategies, to do the things that's actually going to lead to your satiated, as I like to call it, level of income. And so this is where you do have the support that you desire to have. You do have the high level income or paycheck that you desire to pay yourself. Like, you are in the experiences that you want to be in. And so rather than chasing those numbers first and feeling like, you know, even just that language, chasing, like you're running after something, can feel very like a hamster wheel and exhausting, as opposed to like, I'm good, everything's covered right now. And from here, I get to soften into the expansion.
And I just want to say something, because I feel like there'll be people saying, oh, does that mean that you don't encourage the women in SLOW to be like ambitious and to go for like those bigger numbers, which obviously is not the case. It's almost the opposite's true, that it, like, once you have that safety number and you feel safe and secure, you can expand, but it's not like from this kind of adrenaline fueled fight or flight kind of way. It's from this really safe, gentle expansion. And I think that's, it goes back to that butt kicking episode that I did a couple of weeks ago. It's like, we've been conditioned to believe that we've got to go from 0 to 100, or we're not pushing ourselves hard enough, or we're not, you know, we're not being ambitious enough, when actually it's, you know, it's kind of like when you're really grateful, when you come at life with a place of gratitude for what you already have, it doesn't mean that you're settling and that you don't desire more, you know.
Yeah.
It's just something interesting that I think a lot of us humans, our brains like to do, you know, like to polarize it.
Totally. And I think, like, you know, we've shared recently on the SLOW email list a really perfect case study example of this, of a client that actually we took a couple of things off her plate in order for her to slow down a little bit. And what that slowing down did was create the space for her to develop a brand new mastermind, which she easily sold out, which significantly increased the revenue and profitability in her business. And yeah, like you say, it's just sometimes it's slowing in order to speed up. And it's then that we're actualizing the peace and the profit simultaneously.
Yeah, I love that example. What does for you having riches and richness mean? Because that's something we talk a lot about in SLOW, the mastermind, that you can have the both, you can have the riches and the richness. So I'd love for you to unpack that a little bit.
Yeah. So for me, the riches, I see that as being the wealth aspect. So this is going to be deeply personal for everyone. But for me right now, in my current season, riches looks like working towards being completely debt-free and location independent in the next 12 to 18 months. It means, looks like starting an investment portfolio to diversify our income streams in more kind of quote unquote passive ways. I don't ever want to say passive in a hard way, because I don't think any income generation is 100% passive, but in ways that don't just rely on my business and me working in my business in order to generate revenue. And also, it's really doing that deep inner work to calibrate my nervous system to not only receive, but hold consistent 75K months in my business with a sense of ease, peace, pleasure, and full health. And, you know, I think it's important to clarify here, when I say a number like that, that doesn't mean I'm there or anywhere close to, but that is the space where I know my nervous system edge is. I've been working on where my nervous system edge is in regards to creating, receiving, and holding money. And that for me is the point where I feel that stretch edge and I feel that expansion. And so, yeah, really deepening into the work of that and following where that takes me and what arises as a result. And so the richness side of things, I perceive that to be all about the experience, which again is going to be so deeply personal, but in my world, it's deep, deep intimate relationships with myself, my family, my friends, my mentors, my peers, like being really nourished by the people around me, and in turn being super present and nourishing and filling the cups of others. It's about having the spaciousness to honor my energetic ebbs and flows and to be able to tend to myself in my life and in the pursuit of the riches in a way that allows me to be rested, to be regulated, to be radiant, and to be really attuned to my creative turn on. And I think another thing that feels really big for me in this kind of season is the spontaneity, fun, and adventure piece. Like, I definitely see richness at the moment is like, there's going to be a lot more play, a lot more travel in this upcoming season. So yeah, like as you can probably hear, it's a mixture of both. And this is where, and so we talk about this both and lifestyle. I would never want someone to feel like they're just focusing on the riches at the detriment of the richness of their life. Like, we get to have both, and we do definitely make trade-offs, and we do flex and flow between them, but having a clear understanding of what each of those mean to us allows us to be more intentional with our decisions. And I guess I'm curious, because it is so deeply personal and is so nuanced to each individual, like what does it mean to you, Sam?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think I have this belief with my social work background. Like, I have worked with people who have been, you know, like suddenly impacted by health challenges or disability or death. And I have this kind of awareness that life is short. And so I think I've always said to myself, I would rather take longer to grow my business and know that I've lived a really good life each day. Then I feel like there's this kind of message that you have to work really, really hard and kind of sacrifice your life to have the business you want. But because I believe that life is short, you know, and you never know what tomorrow is going to hold, for me, a lot of the riches and richness is not kind of like sacrificing in the short term, expecting a long-term outcome when there are no guarantees. So yeah, I think it's a beautiful gift from working in the cancer center as a hospital social worker, that I really see that, you know, and I know some people feel really uncomfortable talking about death and dying, but I feel like there are a lot of gifts around knowing that one day we won't be here. And so for me, riches and richness is like having the privilege to go slowly in my business and not put too much pressure on myself to earn money whilst really, really being present with my girls. Like, Frankie turned 2 in December. You know, I've only really got like a couple more years till she's at school, and Emily's 8. Like, we were just talking the other day about how she's like almost, which is almost, but we're like, oh, you're halfway to being a teenager. Like, you're, you know, in another 8 years, she'll be 16, which like is just really mind blowing. So for me, richness is really about that, being able to be present and yeah, like playful and just enjoy. And also, I am a highly sensitive person. Like, I need a lot of white space. So I probably have a much more spacious calendar than some people do. But I've realized for me, that is so essential to be able to enjoy life. So I almost measure my success not just with like the profit of my business, but also by how much space, white space I have in my life and my diary. So
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's one of those things too, that as you point out so beautifully, you know, we both have young kids, and it will change in various seasons. You know, in 5 years time, 8 years time, it will look really different for us.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like maybe for me, there will get a point where I'm like, right now, I really, really want to focus on the riches and like go all in. Maybe it's when Frankie's at school full time, but for now, it's just like, for me, a really gentle ebb and flow. And, you know, like Nick and I are looking at like investing long-term, setting up a family trust, and like, we do have some financial goals, but I'm really transparent that I'm not the main breadwinner. And for me, that feels quite like, I don't know, it just feels like that's where I need to be right now. But we do know that that might shift, you know, in 5 years time or something.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and I think it speaks again to that point of like knowing what your goal is and really not losing sight of that. I think, you know, learn from my mistake of like hitting the goal and then going, okay, cool, let's go do more. But being able to be really content and settled in the space that you are. And it's such a cliche thing to say. And I think I've seen Instagram posts and stuff like that about this all the time. And I feel like it's so deeply true. It's like, if you think about where you are right now, you probably have more than what you desired for yourself a couple of years ago. Like, you probably have already hit those goals. And there's such a human nature thing that happens. And you're probably sitting in this moment thinking you're so far away from your next goal and you have all these other goals. And that's beautiful. But also, yeah, anchoring into that gratitude and that celebration of just how far you have come and just how much you have created in your life, in your business, in your career, whatever that space looks like for you.
Yeah, I agree. Like, for me, it's a big part. I make us all do gratitude around the kitchen table, particularly when someone's having a grumpy moment, which they'll probably like remember and go, oh, mom was so annoying. But I think that, you know, obviously gratitude is very evidence-based, but I get, you know, maybe some people would accuse me of playing small or like, but I just really appreciate the simple things in my life. Like, even at the moment, like traveling with Frankie, she's only two. And like last year, I feel like going traveling, like really put my health at, like my body just didn't handle long distance travel with a toddler. And I've had seasons in my life where I've traveled so much, but I don't know. For me, like the richness of life at the moment is the simple, the slow, and yeah, maybe it is like playing a bit smaller. Like this year, I really want to take Emily on like a mother-daughter retreat, and I'm going on a retreat for myself. And like, I'm craving more of those things rather than like big trips to Europe or, you know, I would love to go to Bali. But I don't know. I think, you know, I'm just in a season where I'm craving more simplicity, where almost like less is more.
Oh, totally. I mean, I have a whole stack of saved reels and posts on Instagram of the like homesteading mamas and just like really simple life that's so wholesome and nourishing. And I think, yeah, I guess that's where I feel like there was such a polarity in our experience of what we were kind of conditioned to. And it's like, okay, like grow and be successful. And there's so much messaging about that. And that's so wonderful and amazing if that's your personality and what you desire and how you want to be. And also equally, there's so much beauty, as you say, in the simplicity and just living in the moment and enjoying life. And I don't think that it like means you're playing small. I don't think that means that you're less of a business owner or less of a, you know, whatever, like stories that we get put out there. It's just, unfortunately, that's a byproduct of the patriarchal capitalist system that we live in that has this expectation on productivity and output as the be all end all measure of your worth and your value and your contribution to society, when mothering and tending to the earth and doing all these other beautiful things is equally, if not more, valuable, in my opinion.
Exactly. Although I'm definitely not the home, when you said the homesteading example, it's like, no, I'm like that, but like someone deliver me food.
But I'm the bougie version.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just not I also don't love baking and things like that. Yeah. Total side conversation. I'm just not like a real homemaker. I'm more like, actually, that's probably a real richness measure for me, is like how supported am I am in the home. Mm-hmm. I've really learned to separate my mothering from my housekeeping, and I know that I'm an awesome mom, but I don't enjoy like keeping the house organized and tidy and cooking and things like that. So for me, richness is also like being able to get dinner twist meals delivered so that we don't have to go grocery shopping and our meals are planned and having a cleaner and those kind of things. Yes. I think like maybe my measure of richness is like, how lazy can I be?
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I would have to agree. I'm like, I want the regenerative farm. I want the animals. Yeah. I want to grow my own vegetables, but I also would love someone to be doing that for me so I can just enjoy the fruits of it.
Yeah, I agree. Look, before we wrap up, Jess and I did just want to mention, we are in the process of selling the very final spots for Slow the Mastermind. The next round kicks off in April. What would you want to say, Jess, to anyone who is, you know, listening to you for the first time or thinking about Slow?
I would say if you are someone that is in business and is a not generating the riches or the richness that you desire in your business, then Slow is absolutely a space for you to step into, because it is so unique in that both your inner world, your mindset, your belief system, the rules and expectations that you place on yourself and the way you operate your business, the way your nervous system is currently habituated, all of that is tended to and supported in the context of growing your business in a way that feels aligned and intentional and in a way that you actually desire to grow it, that's so nourishing and supportive for you. And so, yeah, if that's a space that you're in, would obviously love to have a conversation with you, to connect with you, to hear about your visions for your business and your desires for your life, so that we can, yeah, really discuss if Slow is the best fit and the next step for you and where you're at.
I have to say that I might be biased, but I think Jess and I are a bit of a dream team, because you got the best of both worlds. You've got her strategy and her nervous system, and then you've got my psychotherapy and coaching background. Yeah, so we've had lots of feedback from the women inside this round that it's just really incredible that they just feel so deeply supported, because it is also a very intimate mastermind. It's not like a container where you're going to be around like 30 or 50 other women. It's like, yeah, really small groups.
Yes, and such a beautiful hybrid. I think that's the other thing to mention, is that there is a level of one-to-one support as well as the group support. So not only are you getting the best of both worlds in the sense of the skill sets that Sam and I both bring combined, you're also getting the best of both worlds in that you're getting one-to-one support and group support, which is, yeah, pretty phenomenal. And we've just had such beautiful, incredible results. Like, we've had, as mentioned before, the client selling out her mastermind. We've had people increasing their prices and their profitability. We've had people pivoting from a, you know, really successful business that no longer felt fulfilling into a brand new niche that is like lighting their soul on fire. And as a result, booking their first paid speaking gig, like, you know,
International Women's Day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've had some really phenomenal results come through this first round of the mastermind. And we know that's only going to continue to deepen and grow as we continue to move through and really build this incredible space and this movement of working and growing your business in such a deeply nourishing way.
Yeah. So don't be shy. We'll put the link for the details in the show notes, but reach out and send Jess or I a DM if you want to chat about it. We are very gentle in the way that we support people to make decisions about the mastermind too. So it's never something that you should feel scared. Like, if I reach out, they're going to bombard me and they won't, they'll pressure me. It's not like that at all. It's very gentle, very soft, you know, and we're very honest, aren't we, as well, about if we think that someone's a good fit for Slow.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, just in terms of logistics, applications will close on the 28th of March. We officially kick off the mastermind on the 24th of April. And the reason that we do this is the closing applications, because we do have a process of wanting to have a conversation with you, wanting to give you time and space to feel into making your decision. Obviously, spots are limited, so there's that, but also, like as Sam said, we don't want to pressure and rush you into making a decision on a call or having to decide you today that you're in. But yeah, it's something that we would, if you're just curious, to reach out, have the conversation, and we would love to hear from you.
Yeah, and don't wait to the end of March. You're like,
yeah, there may not be spots left at that point.
Yeah, we have like only a really small handful of spaces left. So if you're like me and you like are a last minute decision maker, just reach out and have a chat with us now so that you can at least get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being here, Jess. I loved hearing, I know your story already, but I felt like I just got to know it on a whole nother level. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's always such a pleasure to hang out and chat with you.